From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, November 21st. Coming up, Black Americans are less likely to receive palliative and hospice care than white Americans. We'll learn some reasons why from the Trade-Offs podcast. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Some Illinois lawmakers are trying to close a loophole that allows pawnbrokers to offer loans at triple-digit interest rates. Alex Degman reports.
A law that took effect last year caps the amount of interest that payday, title, or pawn lenders are allowed to charge at 36%. But pawnbrokers complained, and a Sangamon County judge issued an injunction, which has been in place for more than a year. But State Senator Jacqueline Collins of Chicago has a measure to clarify that loans include money borrowed through pawn shop transactions.
Pawnbrokers are making an argument that what they issue are not really loans, and yet they advertise loans, you know, on their posters and in their windows.
If passed, this would take effect in June. Collins says she has a meeting with House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch after Thanksgiving to talk about it. I'm Alex Degman.
The electric automaker Rivian's move to force arbitration in a sexual harassment case is raising eyebrows among the advocates who worked on a new federal law banning that practice. A former employee sued Rivian in September, alleging she was harassed and groped on the job. Rivian is now trying to force the woman into arbitration, which is generally confidential. Congress just passed a law banning companies from doing that, but Rivian says the woman's claims are too old for that to apply. Sharmili Majmadar is with the Chicago-based nonprofit advocacy group Women Employed.
The vast majority of the time when mandatory arbitration is used, workers lose. So about 80% of the time, the employer prevails. And so it is a process that favors employers.
Rivian declined to answer questions about the arbitration issue. It says it expects all its employees to treat each other with dignity and respect, and that they don't tolerate harassment or discrimination of any kind. Illinois is channeling 25% of its cannabis taxes directly into communities harmed by past drug policy. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, a nonprofit indicator is using the money for youth mentorship, reentry services, and violence prevention.
Sherrod's Independent Mentoring Program, or SIMP, Inc. in Macon County is one of roughly 150 groups getting cannabis tax money this year. Macon County qualified as one of multiple Illinois communities with high rates of gun injury, child poverty, and unemployment. Jermise Sherrod founded SIMP, Inc. She says the money allowed her to grow her staff of two to a team of 26.
We wouldn't have never been able to do this. I wouldn't have never dreamed. You're talking about a woman who had two people. We were doing little workshops here and there inside of school.
She says she mentored more than twice as many young people last year as the previous year. SIMP is now receiving the grant for the third year in a row. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The deadly mass shooting at a Colorado nightclub over the weekend was on the minds of local churchgoers. Last night, nearly 50 people gathered at the Unitarian Universalist Church of Urbana-Champaign for a vigil. Sally Fritchie is the associate minister. They say the attack leaves members of the LGBTQ community feeling vulnerable.
You read the things that are being said about LGBTQ people, you know, and you just see the level of hatred that's being stoked, and it just feels inevitable that these kinds of hate crimes and mass murders are going to continue to happen.
Last night's vigil was already scheduled to remember transgender people murdered within the last year. The Human Rights Campaign says violence against transgender and non-binary people has resulted in at least 300 deaths in America since 2013. Still to come, we'll look at reasons Black Americans don't receive palliative and hospice care at the same level as white people. That story from the Trade-Offs podcast is coming up next on 217 Today.
Hi, my name is Katie Buzard, WILL 100th History Curator. When WILL first signed on in 1922, campus announcements and Illini sports comprised most of the news reporting. Over time, news coverage gradually increased, and by the 1960s, you could catch daily newscasts on WILL-TV. WILL quickly built its reputation as a vital source for local news, while also serving as a training ground for student journalists. Join me as I explore the history of local news coverage on WILL at will.illinois.edu/will100.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Each week we bring you a look at the latest in health policy news through our national public health reporting partner, Trade-Offs.
What stops seriously ill Black patients and their families from getting the care they want in life and in death? I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Trade-Offs. Black Americans are at greater risk for many serious illnesses like dementia and kidney failure, but they're less likely to receive palliative and hospice care, care that research shows can make living and dying with these diseases less painful for patients and their families. Both palliative and hospice care offer a mix of physical, emotional, and spiritual support. Palliative care is for people focused on living, hospice for those at the end of life. Black Americans get less of both, says Boston College's Karen Bullock.
If this is the gold standard of care and people like me, Black people, are refusing this care, I wanted to understand why.
After Karen's mom, Annie Mae, was diagnosed with lung cancer, she found much of her mother's care inadequate. But she says the last 3 days of Annie Mae's life, which she spent at home in hospice, were excellent.
Because we were in our own space, we could do all the things that culturally mattered to us. We could pray out loud, we could shout, we could sing. And that was one of the things that made the most significant difference in my mother's capacity to die well.
Those final few moments of Annie Mae's life have inspired Karen's career. She's studied the experiences of more than 1,000 Black people and has identified two big barriers. One, a deep-rooted mistrust of the larger healthcare system.
Why should Black people believe that a healthcare system is going to honor their wishes when for your lifetime the system hasn't honored your wishes? You haven't had access to healthcare. And now, as they're approaching the end of life, to ask them to trust these same systems of care is a really difficult thing to do.
The second barrier, a series of signs to Black families that this kind of care isn't for you.
This is a European model of care that many white people find to be extremely helpful in dying a good death and having their needs met until the end. And there are certain aspects of that philosophy of care that are culturally incongruent for Black people in particular.
For example, surveys show spirituality plays a much larger role in the lives of Black families, but white hospice workers may be unfamiliar with those traditions. As for solutions, Karen says diversifying the healthcare workforce is a top priority. Others advocate expanding palliative care for people on Medicare.
People need to be able to think about it and rethink about it and change their minds. And palliative care gives you that option.
Karen admits work on healthcare equity can be slow and lonely. On hard days, she thinks about her family continuing to sing, chant, and pray as her mom passed. And was Annie Mae conscious in those last couple hours?
Well, according to the hospice philosophy, the hearing is the last to go. And so the hospice social worker said, continue to say the things you want to say because she can hear you even if she can't respond. And so we believe that yes, she was able to pass with dignity because we did all the things that we knew she would have wanted us to do. And that's the message I would like to carry forward so that healthcare providers can create the space for other families to do the same.
To have the good death.
To have the good death, yes.
To hear more from Karen and about one mother's fight to get her son equitable care for his rare cancer, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.
Find more health news from Trade-Offs and WILL at IllinoisNewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be sunny and warmer today with a high of 48 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Ryan Denham, Emily Hayes, Reginald Hardwick, and Dan Gorenstein. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.